I'm just going to say it again. I'm so fucking glad to be here. Thank you. Yeah, let's have a little drink. It's early.
Went this
together, you and me and all the gang. All those crazy death-defiers chasing storms and racing trains. It's a wonder there's a single one of us still left alive to feast on best forgotten memories, tasting the ones up in the skies. It's been so long since I've seen you, and I know you've been through hell, and it's taken its toll on you, and it's less to serve you well. But I still can't see the sparkle in your eyes and in your smile. Glad you're back in town this evening. Have a seat and stay a while. If I do another new one real quick. All right, thank you. Y'all are awesome. So you've gone astray in a New York minute, nothing left to say. The ways to spend, you've just gone too far, and safe within, and all spun out and swept away. You were here one day, gone by sunset, you set out that way. Lest your sin forget, blood on the sawdust, light coming in from a broken shake and pine. You didn't really mean to do me wrong this time. Make it up as we go along, just make and find reason and a rhyme, the strength to carry on. Strike out on her own movement becomes
till you become so removed by the things you show. Seems the more I know, the less I have the answers to these things I sow. They eat me like a cancer till there's nothing left for you to grab a hold of till you spiral.
Can
trying to hold steady on the righteous path. Good. I'm doing all right too. It's so great to be here, and I'm just gonna say that over and over, and because I mean it. And so thank you, the Gray Eagle. I've always loved playing here every time. I think the last time I was here, I had this other guy with me, and Michael. Yeah, Michael. I had Michael with me. He'd kill me. He would fucking blow my brains out. Oh, yeah, motherfucker. And here's to Michael. Me and Michael been playing together for 36 years in August. And the thrill ain't gone. You gotta love that shit. All right, what do we got next? Ooh, that one. Is the doctor here? Is there a doctor in the house? Oh, I hear the doctor. Hey, doctor. How you doing? I want to make sure you were this show and not the next show. I figured I knew the answer to that. I'm just teasing with you. Nonetheless, I didn't want to take any chances of playing your song and you not being. Back here under the candle. That's fancy. Sorry about the stamp thing. I'm going to try to wing myself of this, but when I was in the attic, I was doing all these songs, and my brain was all fucked up, and I can't remember anything. Tell her, but he tried.
couldn't see the use of spreading sadness. So he took his dark depression and went home. And there were things in him that she never bargained, but it wasn't enough to save either one of them. Because she took that sadness one step further and left him all alone to face the
Thank you.
can take their toll sometimes, and I know you feel the same way too. It just gets so hard to keep between the ditches when the roads wind the way they do. Back home. sound you heard was twisted metal. Another dead genius country star. Better get your shit together. Everything's been torn in two. Good thing your liver's made of leather, else we'd all be mourning the likes of you, George Jones. Better leave that cell phone alone. Don't be talking as you try to get back home. If you don't change your ways, my friend, you'll be singing duets. I heard somebody say, eat more possum. Goddamn, I'm back home. I never hear that in Portland. And we have a lot of fucking possums in Portland. I mean, there's a motherfuckload of opossum in Portland, in old Portland, and just in my neighborhood alone. But they don't ever talk about it. They don't talk about it out loud. That's what it is. I know they're eating some possum. There's some possum-eating motherfuckers just on my little dead-end street. I bet Annette's fiancé like to eat a little possum every now and then.
Standing at
the way, Annette was actually, it was a relative of mine. She, my grandmother grew up with Annette and her sister, Boots. And Boots just passed away last fall, and she made it well into her 90s, sharp as a fucking tack, and one of the sweetest, best people on earth. And she was just wonderful. And Annette passed away a good long time ago, but her husband, she ended up marrying later after her earlier incident. She went on to have a happy life, and she married a man named Scooter. Ain't that awesome? His name was Scooter, and Scooter lived to be 101. And he passed away about 2 years ago, but he lived to be 101, and I think he was pretty good shape. Annette passed away in the 90s. She had or around 2000 or something. It was like that, which is what she wanted. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. It's the early show, you know? A little uplift. So, the early show, I gotta keep it going. So that's what I'm going to do. Eat more pasta. I got to eat more possum at the early show. But I got to save room for a little bit of possum. So late night is nothing better than a little late night possum. Except for Topo Chico. And Casamigos. Here's one for you. We're going to take you back down to McNairy County, Tennessee. Back in the days when Sheriff Buford Buster ran things around there. Sheriff Buford Buster was supposedly trying to clean up McNairy County from all them bootleggers and drug dealers who was bringing crime and corruption to his little dry county just north of the Mississippi state line. And for his troubles, he got ambushed. And his wife was murdered, his face got blown up. They made a movie about it called Walking Tall. And it wasn't a very good movie. Of course, I'm not talking about that piece of shit with The Rock made in the 90s. I'm talking about the original Walking Tall back in 1973 or so with Joe Don Baker. It wasn't very good either, but it was iconic. And it came to one of the only three theaters in my hometown, and it stayed there for about 15 months straight with lines around the block. And you'd come to appearances at the local Chevy dealership that I later immortalized in a song about Chevy dealerships burning down. He came to Gene Crump's Chevrolet and would sign autographs, and they gave him a brand new Corvette for his troubles. And not long after that, he ran that Corvette into an embankment and blew himself up. So they made a sequel, and it really sucked, because it didn't even have Joe Don Baker. They had both Simpson. It really wasn't bad, but he wasn't no Joe Don Baker, motherfucker. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why that movie was such a big hit in my hometown is because people like to go and root for the bad guys. Because some of them happen to be from my hometown. I think my dad bought some cocaine from one of them a few times. Back in the old days. Sorry, Dad. Well, they cops are smoking grass and the judge threw the book. And I saw a little opportunism in your look. You can take it from me, boys, take it from a crock. I got friends on the inside and friends on the outside. They'll sneak up beside you, so keep on their good side. See you standing there staring down at your shoes, thinking about your mom and dad and wondering what to do. Well, you best look inside yourself, boy, we're all watching you. I got friends in jail who will see you through. Boy, don't forget, no matter what you do, don't piss off the boys from Alabama. You know they won't let it slide. They might find your body in the Tennessee River, they might not find it at all. And there'll be no place to run and hide, and your family ain't safe at all. So don't piss off the boys from Alabama, they're keeping an eye on you. By the way, I have no idea how we're doing on time. And so at some point in time, if somebody will just like cue me when I have like 15 minutes before I need to be like wrapping this shit up, because I know we do have two shows. I know, I'm sorry about that, y'all. I'd much rather do one show a night and stretch it out. But, you know, it's the reality of this post-COVID world. We're going to get through this motherfucking shit. We're going to come back stronger and meaner and better. Right? I believe. So I want to do a song for my dad. First of all, because I love my dad. And I got a jackpot dad. And he had pretty good surgery yesterday. And, you know, he's a sharp as a tack, super spry 77, but he's 77, and he had a shoulder replacement yesterday, and I think it went really successful, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that he's going to bounce back and feel so much better, because he's otherwise, other than little infrastructure problems, he's pretty good. He's all right. Just repair that bridge, and we'll be okay. He asked me one time, he's like, I love all them songs you write about your family, but you should write something about my side of the family sometime. Because they're all like my mom's side of the family. And he's right. I mean, he's totally correct. I've got a lot of songs about my family. I even did a couple of shows last year during the quarantine shit from my attic, where I would basically play songs about my family, and they were all about my mom's side of the family. But the reason for that is because I wasn't really close to my dad's side of the family, And I love my dad, and we're great. But his parents, my grandparents, Smokey and Louise, they did what old people do, and they moved to Sarasota, Florida, when I was about 5. And so from then on, for the rest of their lives, I just wasn't really around them a lot, even though they were really interesting. And there's probably some songs there that at some point maybe I can dig out. But they weren't in my life. But I spent, my parents were teenagers when I was born, so I spent most of my childhood with my grandmother, my mom's mom, and then her brother, my great uncle, George A. Johnson. And it was awesome, that part of my childhood was idyllic, but I didn't see my dad's parents that often, and when I did, Smokey was usually drunk, and he drank about a fifth of scotch a day, and he wasn't a sweet drunk, and so I didn't really hang out with him that much, but when they moved to Sarasota, as old people sometimes tend to do, their next door neighbor was Carl Walinda's widow. And so I met her and would I'd be out playing in Louise and Smokey's backyard, and the old lady next door with the orange trees and the lemon trees, I didn't know she was at first, but I saw that TV movie when I was a kid about the flying Walindas, and they were like fucking incredible, and they're still doing crazy shit, and I knew that woman, I met her, so I wrote a song about that, so I'm going to do this for my dad. I hope you start feeling better really quick, and I love you, and I'll see you in a couple weeks, so this is the Flying Walindas.
Stories.
astounded and amazed. The old lady out pruning her orange trees had flown to the heavens and strings are cool, but they're a little bit more trouble. They're less trouble than a 12 string. In my opinion, they might be even a little cooler. If for no other reason, then they're a little bit less trouble. And that's cool. I got kids. I got enough trouble. I don't need no more trouble. I can get what I need from 8 strings. Why do I need 12? Right?
Hell yeah.
I got kids. I can't afford a guitar tech. If somebody asked me at 21, what's I prefer? Kids? Guitar tech? At 21, I would have said, what the fuck's a guitar tech? But I don't want no kids. I'll take a guitar pick, whatever the fuck that is. Sounds like a good thing. It's got guitar in it. We're not going to take you back that far. That was a long time ago. We're going to take you back to about 32. That was a long time ago, too. But it was a manageable amount of time. So a few days ago, my band celebrated its 25th birthday. By celebrating, that means basically we didn't break up. Woo! Happy birthday, motherfuckers! 25, that's a long motherfucking time. And me and Cooley have been playing together 36 years in August, and that's 11 years longer. That's a long motherfucking time. And at any rate, I just want to say happy birthday, DBT, motherfuckers. I love you. And in honor of that, I'm going to take a quick little nip of this there George Clooney approved delicious tequila. Don't put down George Clooney to me, motherfucker. That's awesome. And I'm going to play y'all the very first Drive-By Trucker song. The way we met, I can't get going all that. Fuck that. The way we got together as a band was like June 10th, 1996. And I saved up money and I bought a day of studio time. And I had this vision in my head for like a band that I thought would be like a good band. And I had this name for this band that I thought was great. Drive-By Truckers. Oh yeah. That name like that, we could sell out the Star Bar in Atlanta. That's how ambitious I was. I've been playing music professionally, more or less, for, about 13, 14 years by then. I'd never sold out a bar or a club in my life of any size. You could have a room the size of the stage, and it'd be empty. It'd be like sparse. And so I wanted a band that could sell out some room, and I was convinced that drive-by truckers could sell out the Star Bar in Little Five Points in Atlanta. And I was right. I was right as motherfucking shit. We stole out the fuck out of the Star Bar. And we were so excited, and I'm still so excited. And it was still like some of the best times of my life, where so these crazy little weekends, and we'd be in this place about half the size of this, and there'd be like so many people packed in there, and it's like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna be a rock star yet. I'd been living in Athens, Georgia for a couple of years, and I was working at the Hi-Hat, and we had a lot of cool bands play there, and so whenever someone was playing, I was like, oh man, that pedal steel player, he's pretty fucking good. Put him on the list. And I like that mandolin player, all right. And I knew an upright bass player who could sing these beautiful harmonies, and there was this drummer in one of my favorite bands, and he liked my songs, and so it's like, he was willing to like play with me, Matt Lane, hell yeah, but I had this other like evil plan in my head. I'd played with Cooley in three bands, and we'd been in Adam's House Cat for 6 years, and then we did Virgil Caine, and then we did Horse Pussy. That was the band that should have made it, right? And then we had this falling out, and we didn't speak for a while, and it was ugly and sad, and then we made up, and we were like four-tracking these songs, and we were really having fun hanging out. And it's like, man, I want Cooley in my band. So I'm going to put together like the band Cooley would want to be in. And that was literally my goal. And at the time, he liked the name. He don't now. None of us do. But he liked the name. It's what it is, man. It's what it is. You know, if you were like at Woodstock and you got pregnant and you had a baby and you wanted to name it Moonflower, that was a lovely name. But there was some point, like in the 80s or 90s, when Moonflower was just so unhappy that you named them Moonflower. I play in Moonflower, that's all. I love Moonflower. I digress. Okay, I know, this is like the early show. I gotta wrap it up. I gotta get this shit going. So. Anyway, we booked a day of studio time. Everybody came over. That's when everybody met everybody for the first time. Cooley had never met all those Athens people except for me, and he knew Adam. And it was like that. And we all met, and then we started playing, and we cut five songs that day. And it was magical. And the first two songs we recorded, we put out as a 45, and it was Bulldozers and Dirt and Nine Bullets. You can buy them on eBay for a whole lot of money that I don't get. And then the third song we cut was Margo and Harold, and that take ended up on Pizza Deliverance, and it's still one of my favorite takes of anything we've ever done in our entire lives. It was just a magical take. That first day as a band. And at the end of the day, we're like, man, this is kind of fun. Everybody's having fun eating their pizza, which was all they got paid, and drinking their cheap beer, Bush, you know. Woo! And I was like, hey, y'all want to do a show or two? I'll book one. They're like, yeah, I'll do a show or two. And the rest is history. Bulldozers in dirt, bulldozers in dirt. What's your mama got hidden up her shirt? I like to play and I like to work, but most of all I like bulldozers in dirt. I met your mama when I was 19. You couldn't have been any more than three. She caught me speeding y'all's color TV. She called the cops and they arrested me. She was the wildest thing I'd ever seen. The way she pointed. pointed that shotgun at me. The police hauled my ass off to jail. Mama signed the trailer to help make the bail. She picked me up and drove me home. Said I'll learn you not to roam. Green, green grass under my feet. All I can think about's the dirt underneath. Bulldozers and dirt, bulldozers and dirt. Behind the trailer, my dessert. The red clay piles are heaven on earth. I get my rocks off bulldozers and dirt. Thank you. had me working for the county, cutting grass on the off ramps and medians and such. Every quarter mile or so stands a brand new reminder, another traffic death in town, something new to cut around. Crashed out on the highway, plastic cross and plastic bouquet, paramedics in the bystander's gaze. How are we doing on time? Huh? Good? Time to do a little bit more? They're awful nice, right? A few of them won't even be here later, so we should probably do a few more, right? Y'all all right with that? A few more? Keep this thing going? How about truckers don't use no set list? I don't really follow it. I just have one. And I've got just a bunch of shit on it. I got a bunch of notes and shit. And it's like, oh, okay, I can do that. I need that. If it's drive by truckers, I do a song and then Cooley surprises me or sometimes tries to stump me. And this time I'll try to stump him. He's easier to stump than me. No, he's not. No, he's not. Michael will kick my ass. Last night I told a story about him wearing a red dress, slit up the front, looking like Cher. And within 10 minutes of me telling the story, someone had sent his daughter a picture of Cooley in the red dress. He did look like Cher. It was a little disturbing. Okay. Are we ready? I'm gonna do that one. Let's see what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do something different. Oh, the reason the drive-by truckers don't do a set list is because, like, the first show we ever did, we had a set list and I didn't follow it. And Cooley was like, motherfucker, you did that for 6 fucking years, Adam's House Cat, and then all those other bands we were in, you kept doing it. It's like, just don't make one. It's like, fuck you. It's like, if you make a set list, you're not going to follow it, so don't fucking make one. Why, like, make me think I know what's next? Like, fair enough. We eliminated one thing we used to fight about. The secret to a happy ending.
If you wait, that'd be good. Minute, it only takes a minute.
All right, Let's do this. I know what I'm doing.
All right.
Oh, yeah, this will be good.
What did I do with that? There it is.
Y'all bear with me. I'm not too professional with that. Bobby went for a joyride with my best girl, left me at the party. It was almost June and the three-quarter moon illuminated the rain-soaked streets like a candy wrapper. I guess that's why Bobby had his lights off. Tear-assing through them back streets of town and deserted country roads where me and Bobby tear-assed so many times before. Sometimes with my best girl. Sometimes Bobby would have him one, two. But this night he banked that curve, it was a little too hard, and that 442 went airborne. Hit a telephone pole and split in two. Bobby's skull was split right in two. And my girl pinned in her seat, partially embedded in the dashboard. And for the next few minutes, the only sound in the night was the sound of her screams and the sound of the wheels still spinning. Paramedics came, and the sound of their siren mixed with the sound of the screaming girl and the spinning wheel. But when the story was told the next day at the graduation ceremony, everyone said that when the paramedics got there, they could still hear Freebird playing on the stereo. It's a very, very long song.
Muscle show sound, and they met some real fine people.
they feel as your guitars blast to Ronnie and me.
I got
song. Turn the speakers up full blast. Play it all night long.
See y'all soon. Thank you. Good night.